For those of you who are not into sort of the arts, what's happening there in those scenes is there are people everywhere struggling with issues. Everything from sexual morality and addictions to depression, sorrow, grief, I mean, you name it. You know, and it would be awesome if we could see that while we're out in our community, while we're out and about, you know, at our job, at our school, just out in the community, whatever we're doing, if we could see what people were struggling with. But what happens there at the end of the video is as one person chooses to pray, just to lift up those needs before our Heavenly Father, they start disappearing as God's kingdom comes here on the earth. And even as Jesus said here, and I love it in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, it gives us an account of Jesus, and it's just powerful, and that's the theme that's going to carry throughout. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And that's sort of a buzzing question in our culture today, right? Especially in the church. You know, always coming back soon, he's coming back soon. When's he coming? Is it today, tomorrow? Was it, you know, 6 months ago? Who was it, the Family Life TV guy? You know, he had it pegged about a year ago, but yeah, he kind of missed it. not a new question. The Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus replied. And he didn't reply to the question as he usually did. This time he made a statement. He said, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." In the King James Version, it says, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." And the Amplified, because it just kind of covers all bases, said, "The kingdom of God is within you and among you and surrounding you." Kingdom of God is here. It's not over there. It's not over here. It's not something that can be observed. The kingdom of God is within you. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The reality is that anyone who makes the consistent choice to put their faith in Jesus Christ, they are an adopted member of the kingdom of God. We've been adopted into his family. It's awesome. We're children of God. No, not everyone is a child of God. It's sort of a myth that we can, you know, debunk there. Not everyone is a child of God. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, which is revealed through our actions, we're members of the kingdom of God. We're children of God. Scripture says that we are ambassadors. As Dal likes to say, we are representing Jesus with the adventurous responsibility of establishing God's kingdom here on the earth. We have that responsibility and that adventurous life to live, that we get to establish God's kingdom wherever we go. Even as the testimony you heard this morning, you know, through a very simple act of faith, you know, just praying for somebody, mowing someone's lawn for them, through simple acts of service. Jesus said, even if we give a cup of cold water to one who is thirsty, to the least of these, we've done it to him. We bring God's kingdom. This kingdom of God is awesome, and we don't have to wait until Jesus raptures us or until we kick the bucket to experience it. We don't have to wait to experience the kingdom of God, as so many believe. God's kingdom is right here within us, amongst us, surrounding us, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Spirit is, that's where God's kingdom is. And Scripture reveals pretty clearly that God has deposited his Holy Spirit within us, that we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled to overflowing, rivers of living water coming forth from us, times of refreshing. The truth is, we are members of a kingdom that maintains all ultimate power and authority. God's rule is supreme. He reigns sovereign over all other kingdoms. A kingdom not merely of words, but as Jesus taught and revealed, God's kingdom is not just a kingdom of words, but a kingdom of action. A kingdom of action. Jesus said that God's kingdom cannot be observed. And what he was in reality saying about that, you know, when he said that people can't say, "Here it is," or "There it is," what he meant is that God's kingdom isn't a physical place where you can go. It's not like going to Kennywood, where you might get shot if you happen to do. If you didn't catch the news last night, it's not a dangerous kingdom. But, you know, I can tell you what I'm inside and outside of Kennywood Park, right? It's a place. It's over there. Here it is. I can give you a map and say, right here it is. You know, God's kingdom is not like that. God's kingdom is not a physical place where you go. God's kingdom is borderless and it is boundless. Boundless. There is nowhere in this universe, no matter what type of flying object we create, you can never escape the kingdom of God. You can never go and hide from him, from his presence. There are no boundaries, no limits placed around God's kingdom because it includes everything that exists in every realm, both physical as well as spiritual. And every kingdom in every realm is subject to him. And every kingdom is defined by him. In fact, we read in through scriptures, even the demons and Satan himself in their kingdom of darkness, they still are subject to the authority of heaven. The enemy cannot steal, kill, and destroy from you without God's permission. He can't. He's got to ask permission. You're untouchable. It's a pretty cool reality that we live in. But we read here in Scripture, Psalm chapter 103, verse 19. And we could go on for several of these, but just a few examples to understand God's sovereignty. In Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." And in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, "From one man," and that's Adam, "he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." No kingdom exists without purpose. No kingdom exists accidentally. Scripture is very clear right here. Jesus decided at what time the United States would come into existence and what time it may cease to exist. They are all marked out by his hand. And then again in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." And yes, that is true even in a republic such as ours. It's still God's choosing. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So just to get sort of a context, God's kingdom, it is a supreme kingdom. It reigns over all. It trumps everything. If you guys are into playing cards, you know, God's kingdom trumps. Doesn't matter what you throw out there, God's like, I've got authority over that. Because everything that exists, he created. It's foolish for us to think otherwise, that somehow some governing authority has trumped the kingdom of God and is greater than him. You know, they may raise up against him, and he may let them for a long season, but it'll come to an end. Look at the Roman kingdom in the days of the scripture that we read. They raged against the kingdom of God, did everything they could to snuff it out, but that Roman Empire's gone, as great as it was. Yet God's kingdom remains, because it's an everlasting kingdom from beginning to end. Ever and ever and ever, God's kingdom rules. But our concern throughout this series, however, it is not about the kingdoms and the nations of the earth. Our concern is about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that existed before them all and will outlast them all. The kingdom of God, it is comprised of people from every time, every nation, every tongue. Again, this idea of being boundless. It is amazing. You go to the Dominican Republic, and what do you find there? There are members of the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. You go to China, you go to Asia, you go anywhere on this earth, and chances are you're going to find a believer. And if you don't find them there, then God's going to send someone there to spread the good news of his gospel. It has to be heard by every nation across the earth. The kingdom of God is united, however. And that's the awesome thing. You know, we have a hard time understanding this because most of us have been born and raised in the United States. Some of us have never even visited another country, so we don't understand this. But regardless of the culture in which we live, and you can see the evidence of this in scriptures, if you read through especially the book of Acts, you will see that God brought his salvation. Jesus made it available to everyone, regardless of their cultural upbringing, regardless of what resources they have available, regardless of what their religious beliefs were previously. There is a unifying force amongst us all, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who defines God's kingdom. And that is the one thing that you will find through and through. Regardless of our culture, the way we dress, the way we talk, we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit who teaches us truth. You know, we have the living Word of God as this unifying force amongst us all. And that's why I love Newsboys. They have that song, that all God's children sing in glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, you know. I love to think about that. Like right now, I'm worshiping the Lord God. And across the world, there are people from every tribe, nation, and tongue, and they are lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, how awesome is that? That's a cool thought, you know? That's the unifying force between us all. And we find in Scripture that God is seeking out a people. And we talked about this last week, honor. Who honor Him not only with their lips. God is looking for people who not only know His written Word, but looking for people whose hearts are fully surrendered to Him and ready to do His will. That is the kingdom people who He is seeking after. God is seeking out after a generation who will choose to lay down their lives and choose to honor all others so that the power of His love and His grace can be poured out through us, these vessels. We get to be the hands and the feet of Jesus here on the earth to bring His kingdom, to establish His kingdom. Not everybody who thinks that they are a member of the kingdom of God truly is. We're warned about this many times in Scripture. Not everybody who says, yeah, I'm a believer, I love Jesus, actually does. Not everybody who thinks they are representing Him truly are. In fact, Scripture says that in the end times, there are those who will kill people thinking they are doing it in the name of God. And you can read the news and see this happening. They are obviously not believers. We must carefully keep watch over our own lives, however. Not over every, you know, people who think that they are watchmen, they think that their job is to watch over other people and to call out their sin and to call out their issues, you know. The watchmen are called to watch over their own lives, I believe, in the New Testament, in our context. We are responsible for us. We are held accountable for us. We have to keep watch over our own lives because we are the most easily deceived. Yes, we need to watch for our brothers and sisters and help them to live out the faith and warn them when we see, you know, some possible issues in love. But we are called to, first of all, watch ourselves. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, and for time's sake, I'm skipping down to verse 43, still keeping it in context if you want to read through it. Jesus said this regarding His kingdom. He said, what do you think? I love when Jesus asked that. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Sounds like the Cromer household here. Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they answered pretty easily, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. We need to watch ourselves. It is easy to say, homosexuals, homosexuals, homosexuals. Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bible's clear about that, black and white. Yet Jesus said, you know what? There are some of them getting to heaven ahead of you because of this parable. Because they repent and they do what they're supposed to do. You're too busy pointing out everyone else's issues to do what you're supposed to do. We have been commissioned to establish the kingdom of God here on the earth. There are people out there who are sick and they need healed. There are people out there who are bound by the demonic and they can't get free from these addictions. We're supposed to go set them free. If we're not doing those things and we think we are firmly established as members of the kingdom of God because I prayed a prayer once, you're missing it. It's those who do the will of God. Those who do the will of God who are members of His kingdom. In verse 32, Jesus went on. He said, for John came to show you the way of righteousness. You didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. And Jesus says, he continues in verse 43, and he says, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people, and here is the key, who will produce his fruit. Produce his fruit. Members of God's kingdom are not the ones who say yes to Jesus. They're not the ones who come into a worship service and say, I will follow you. Those are not the members of the kingdom of God. The members of the kingdom of God are the ones who produce the kingdom of God's fruits in their lives. The ones whose lives clearly display the fruits of the Spirit. Because if our lives are not showing the fruits of the Spirit, then we are the greatest fools on the face of this earth. So deceived by Satan, so bound by him. We're little puppets of him. If we are still displaying the fruits of the flesh after establishing ourselves as members of God's kingdom, right? Members of God's kingdom just do not act that way. We establish ourselves and we display the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus warned us about the many, many people who will sit in church next to us who talk the talk but refuse to walk the walk. He taught us how to recognize them in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus warned us. He said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly. That place where you can't see. Inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. But by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, and the spiritual implications of what he's saying here is pretty clear, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And if you think I'm sort of extending the truth here, that they will be cut down and cast in the fires of hell, Jesus said in verse 21, continue, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name, perform many miracles? Then I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. People who prophesied accurately, who drove out demons, who performed many miracles in the name of Jesus, and Jesus said they were evil doers. Why? As we were praying on Wednesday night, I believe the answer was revealed here. Dave, as he's praying, they had the anointing, the gifting, they had everything that they needed from God, but they did it on their own. They didn't do it in the presence of God, by his authority. It's possible to act like a member of a kingdom and not truly be one. Anybody surprised by that? How many people work here, yet they are illegal immigrants? They receive the benefits from the nation, yet they are not members of it, right? If that can happen in the natural, don't be fooled to think that there are not people sitting amongst us who believe to be members of God's kingdom, yet they are not. And when they get to the end, they're like, Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff. I did some awesome stuff, man. And Jesus is like, but you didn't know me. We didn't have a relationship. So get out of here. They're cast in the fires of hell. Because they did the work of God, but not out of a relationship with God. Religion. Doing things to earn God's favor instead of doing things because we love Jesus. They look exactly the same. They talk exactly the same. They act exactly the same. One's going to hell. The other is entering into the glorious kingdom of God. The difference is that relationship. That relationship. Are they truly members of the kingdom of God? Do they truly grow the fruits of the Spirit? Because none of us want to live our lives with that false sense of security, thinking that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, but then we get before the Lord Jesus himself, the only one judge who reigns supreme, and find out that we missed it. None of us want a false sense of security in that way. We want to come before him to the end of our lives and hear those priceless words, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. We all want to hear those words because of how much we love him. Just as Jesus taught, those who are truly members of God's kingdom should possess a bounty of the fruits of the Spirit, right? And those are called out in Galatians chapter 5. Our lives should be displaying these fruits, and our lives should be growing these fruits into other people around us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we believe ourselves to be members of the kingdom of God, if we believe ourselves to be branches plugged into the vine, then we'll grow these fruits. It's just going to naturally happen. The supernatural in the life of a member of the kingdom of God just happens naturally, right? It just happens. I don't choose to grow my hair. It's just a fruit of who knows what. It just happens, you know? It's the same in the kingdom of God. You don't have to try to be patient, because it just doesn't work that way. Any of us who have tried it knows. I can't just, there goes some patience, you know? It just doesn't work that way. And neither do trees that grow out there in nature. They don't have to work and try to bear fruit. They just do it. If they're a good tree, planted in good soil, and have all the good nutrients they need, they're just going to grow good fruit. It's just going to happen. It's the same with us. We don't have to force ourselves to be members of God's kingdom. We just be who we are called to be. Just be ourselves. And as we are ourselves, we'll bear good fruit. But if we are not truly members of God's kingdom, and we just be ourselves, and we are nasty to people, we throw fits of rage. Whenever we go to work, it's selfish. It's not how can I serve. It's man, I'm doing this, and that, and I'm not getting paid enough for this garbage. Selfish ambition. These are all fruits of the flesh, also called out in Galatians chapter 5. If you struggle in sexual immorality, it's an indication that you may not be a member of God's kingdom. Now, am I saying that because you're a member of God's kingdom, you're never going to struggle in any of those areas? No. We always have to fight with our flesh versus spirit. But I'm kind of saying that if the majority of your life is spent trying to be something that you're not, so you're going to fail in the end, and it's just purposeless. The best thing you can do is just give your life to Jesus and just surrender. Just give it to him and let him have his way with it. Then we will begin to produce more of the fruits of the Spirit and less of the fruits of the flesh as we just yield to him throughout our lives. So doing the will of God as members of his kingdom, Scripture actually reveals, is easy. It's not a hard thing to do. Most of us think about establishing God's kingdom and bringing his kingdom here on the earth, and we think that it's something hard to do. But as I said, if you are already a member of his kingdom, then it's just something, the supernatural is just going to come naturally because you're a member of his kingdom. You're just being who you are. You're just doing what you're called to do. It's because in the kingdom of God, it's not me who has to do it. It is the Holy Spirit. I can't go and heal anybody. I'm fully relying on the Holy Spirit to do it. I can't hear and discern issues that a stranger might be dealing with, but the Holy Spirit can reveal them. I can't go and set anyone free from any addiction. And no matter how much counseling I might do with somebody, I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit can set them free in a heartbeat. You know, the Holy Spirit can do all these things. So it is him who does all the hard part. He does all the hard work. I just cooperate with him. Really, my part is easy. When I hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, go pray for that person, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for this person. I'm not going to be like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if that person thinks this? Just cast all those worries aside and just, okay, I'm doing what you're calling me to do, and I'm assuming that you're going to help me do it. You know, you're going to give me what I need to do what you're calling me to do. As we establish God's kingdom, it is God who establishes his kingdom, right? We're just joyous members, just doing whatever we can, you know, and we're going to go over, of course, all this in detail throughout this message series. You know, it's not what I want to get into this morning, but bringing God's kingdom is more simplistic than we think. You know, I think I already mentioned it earlier. Jesus said that whatever we do the least of these in the world's eyes, we've done for him directly. We've done it for Jesus. It wasn't about that person. It was about Jesus. We talked a few Wednesdays ago about that parable. You know, Jesus actually said that when you throw a party, don't throw it for your brothers and sisters and relatives and neighbors, because if you throw a party for them and you invite all them people, what are they going to do? Next time they throw a party, they're going to invite you. You've already received your reward. But when you throw a party, invite the least of these. Invite people in on from the streets who there is no way they can repay you. And Jesus said, rich will be your reward in heaven when you do that. What you do to the people who cannot pay you back, you're doing to Jesus. You're doing it for him. Simple acts of service. Simple acts of service. Just helping people. Just being there for somebody. That's bringing God's kingdom. And Jesus taught us that and he showed us that. Look at the people that Jesus went to. And look at how he interacted with them. And then do the same. Represent him. Represent him. Be his ambassador. Do what he did. Giving a drink of water to somebody who's thirsty. Speaking a word of encouragement. Praying for someone who's hurting or sick. Donating clothes. Mowing grass. Giving, you know, every little simple act of honor. It brings God's kingdom here on the earth. When we, the awesome thing is when we do the ordinary to bless somebody, God does the extraordinary. And man, the Holy Spirit is way better at convicting people of their sins and leading people to him than we are. As we do what we are called to do, God will do his part. He's always faithful to do that. And he will draw people into his kingdom. And next thing you know, people will be asking you, hey, how do I get saved? Literally will happen. You can ask my wife. It's really cool. She has several testimonies where people literally just, that she was working with was like, how do I get saved? How do I know if I'm saved? What does that even mean? And Becky's like, I never even used that word here, you know? It's cool what God will do, what the Holy Spirit will do as we just show kindness to people. Because that's all that she did in these instances. Just show kindness to somebody. Help them whenever they had a need, you know? Laid down ourselves. God is seeking out a people who are willing to do this. Willing to cry out to our Heavenly Father as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught us how to pray. This is how we ought to pray. This is how we ought to cry out to our Heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Is there any mourning? No. Is there any sickness? No. Are there any tears? No, there's not. There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no none of this. Jesus revealed that. He raised the dead to life. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers. He drove out demons because, you know, demonic, they don't have a place in the kingdom of heaven. They can visit to ask permission, but they can't hang out there. They can't build a house there. They will be evicted. You know, Jesus taught us to pray that. And that should be our life purpose and goal and desire, is that God's will would be done here on the earth. Not what I want, how I want it, when I want it, but God's will and his purposes. His kingdom literally coming to earth. And so as we proceed throughout this message series, Kingdom Come, we're going to talk about what God's kingdom is like and how we actually bring it. Because after all, how can I represent a kingdom that I know nothing about? How can I represent the kingdom of God if I don't really know how it acts and how it behaves? What you end up doing is, you think you are doing what God is calling you to do, but you're doing what the enemy is calling you to do. You pervert and twist God's kingdom. We learned about that last week. God's kingdom honors all people. Right? Going out with big banners and signs, screaming hateful things at people, that's not God's kingdom. That's you and your foolishness, and that's why you're leading no one to Christ. You're actually driving people pretty far away from him. You know, I mean, my brother-in-law, he shows me videos all the time. He goes to these concerts. Every single concert he goes to, and I'm not going to encourage anyone to go to any of these, but there is a group of Christians out there believing that they are going to lead these people to Christ by telling them that they're going to hell, you know? And I'm like, why don't they, like, give you a bottle of water? Because it looks pretty hot and thirsty there, you know? Because that's what my Bible says that those people are supposed to be doing. You were thirsty when you were standing there right in line, yeah? Well, my Bible says they were supposed to bring you a bottle of water. not throw up signs saying that you're going to hell. Now, is it true? Yeah, they are, you know. Is that how we're supposed to lead them to repentance? Uh-uh. You won't find Jesus ever doing that, you know. You know the people who he said those things to? They were that group of people. Jesus went up to that group of people and said, you're whitewashed tombs, you're going to hell. You know, it kind of gives you a proper perspective of the kingdom of God. That's what we're going to take a look at, you know. How can I produce the fruits of God's kingdom if I don't know what they are? How can I recognize them? This world, I'm telling you, it is ready for the kingdom of God because our culture is growing so, so dark. There are so many needs out there. But when we bring honor to people through simple acts of service, people who I know they got themselves in their foolish situation, but when we choose to honor them and to bring God's kingdom, man, that shines the light of Christ. It brings salt, you know, into the bitter place that needs it. These words of Jesus are just as true now as they were then. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease. When he saw the crowds, and trust me, we think we know how bad people are. Jesus knew their hearts. He saw just how sinful they were. He saw every mistake they had ever made. He knew them through and through. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I'm telling you, our community is a community that has a poverty mindset, but they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What good's it going to do to be a wolf to them and to keep nipping at them, telling them what they need to do? Jesus responded with compassion, and he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest field." And we are his workers. All of us sitting here this morning who have said we put our faith in Jesus, we are his workers. We are the ones who Jesus has chosen to bring God's kingdom here on the earth and to do his will. Jesus said about us that we would do everything that Jesus was doing and even greater things because he went to the Father. And what happened when he went to the Father? He sent the Holy Spirit, who will enable us to do all the works that Jesus did and even greater things. We have work to do. We've got a lot of work to do, believe me. If you tried to meet every need out here, you'd run yourself ragged. That's why we need each other to meet those needs. We have a job and we have a responsibility to the Lord that we will be held accountable for. What did you do with what I gave you? This is what Jesus is going to take a look at. This is who I created you to be. How close did you come to that? And where did you bomb it? That job and that responsibility is that that God's kingdom would come and his will would be done here on the earth. And it's an adventurous calling. It is not a boring lifestyle to be a Christian. You know, when people from the world take a look at Christianity, they see, man, you got to give up all your fun. Such a boring lifestyle, you know. But I'm telling you, when you read the actual Bible, when you read through the Old Testament, New Testament, and you take a look at any one person who chose to lay down their life to do the will of God, it wasn't boring. Not one of them led a boring life. It was a pretty crazy, wicked kind of lifestyle, you know, not in a bad way, in the, you know, United States slang term, wicked. Jesus is calling us as disciples with this one simple command. Very simple. Jesus didn't make his kingdom complicated because it is not a complicated kingdom. It is very simplistic. Jesus said, as you go, wherever you go, as you're going, wherever life might lead you. Take a look at Rob. Man, when you get into frustrated situations of life where it's like, okay, she said to go here and to do this. I have no idea what she's talking about. And why am I here? You know, we all have those times when we get so frustrated in life. Stop and think. God, why are you putting me here? What's going on here? What are you looking to do? Why are you forcing me into this place that I don't want to be? Ask him what he's trying to do. And look what God did. Powerful testimony. As you go, proclaim this message. Now, does that say pastors proclaim this message? Uh-uh. Teachers proclaim this message? Uh-uh. You will see in the Bible, every believer of Jesus Christ preached the good news of the gospel, right? Hey, it's pretty good stuff. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. If you are a member of God's kingdom, you've got to firmly believe this in your spirit. I mean, get it so into your spirit that your mind can't contradict it. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The Holy Spirit is within me. Where I go, I bring God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is right here within me. I've got the Holy Spirit, therefore the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That is the mission statement of the kingdom of God. As you go, heal the sick. You see someone that's sick, heal them. They're asking for money. Peter and Paul, they didn't have any. So what they did, they said, get up and walk. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. You've received freely the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will do all those things as you step in cooperation with Him. That means for us, every single day of our lives is a day on the missions field. A day on the missions field. You are missionaries. If you take a look at our missionaries wall out there, you might not have noticed it. Take a look at the missionaries out there. You will find yourself out there. You are being sent as a missionary to this 25-mile radius. God's looking to do some pretty awesome things, but He's going to need some pretty dedicated people to do it. You know, more details are coming on this. We need every person. Our mission is to freely give to others everything that Jesus has freely given us. Because in God's kingdom, we know that there is none of these things here on the earth. God's kingdom, to which we belong, is a kingdom of healing, freedom, fullness of joy, forgiveness, and life. It is a kingdom of life. God's kingdom is here in our midst, within us. And Jesus said that as we go, we bring His kingdom. That means that every day, wherever life takes you, during your ordinary life, we will receive opportunities to bring God's kingdom on earth. You will see opportunities all around you. Those opportunities are probably the things that are driving you nuts right now. The things that you just can't stand. Those are probably the opportunities that God is calling you to minister in. We simply need to train ourselves to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to speak and to work through our lives. Some of these keys to watch for. If someone speaks hopelessness to us, that Eeyore that just doesn't see anything good in life, that could be an opportunity to bring God's kingdom. When they speak about their sicknesses and they boast in them, and they've made a career... You know, of going to doctors. That is a key that we need healing. When people are broken, when they are lost, when they're uncertain, these are opportunities to bring God's kingdom. Anything that exists in anyone's life that does not match the way it is in heaven, that's an opportunity for us to bring God's kingdom. That's what Jesus did everywhere He went. Did He heal every single sick person on the face of the earth? No. Did He meet every poor person's need across the face of the earth? No. But the ones that He encountered, He never once turned someone away and said, dude, I'm so sorry you're sick, but that's just the will of God in your life. He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to train you. He's strengthening your faith. No, Jesus healed it. He healed every sickness, every disease, everywhere He went to establish the kingdom of God, to tell us what God's kingdom is like. In God's kingdom, there is no sickness, and so God didn't leave it. Every demon that came His way that had bound any individual, what did He do? He drove it out. The woman who was caught in adultery by the law of God Himself, they had every right to stone her to death. What did Jesus do? He came into her defense, and He's like, well, first person without sin cast the first stone. And then He forgave her for her sin, and He told her to what? Go and sin no more. Exactly. The love of God manifests. The kingdom of God. That is what the kingdom of God looks like. It does not look down and ridicule and throw stones at people who are caught in sin. It gets right down in there with those people, comes alongside of them to defend them. But it doesn't leave them where they're at. It forgives them of their sin because it calls their sin sin. We're not going to mix words here. God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. You are wrong. What you're doing is wrong. But I'm going to forgive you for that wrongdoing, and I'm going to enable you to go and not to do it anymore. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that we are called to establish. The point at which God's kingdom meets earth It's right here. Right here at our feet, the tips of our toes. That's the intersection. If you guys are into trigonometry, and you know, I love math and science. That is the point at which the kingdom of heaven intersects with the kingdom of earth. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. And thank you for bearing with me. I know it's a little long today. It says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love it. Hallelujah. Everyone who calls on him, they'll be saved. Easy. Easy peasy, right? How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Right? It starts with us. Believe it or not, there are people right here in our community who have never heard the name of Jesus. They've never stepped foot into a church. They have no idea what we are all about. No idea. Clueless. They exist, believe it or not. But the scripture goes on and says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And those beautiful feet are yours. You are the ones who have been commissioned to go preach the good news, to preach the name of Jesus, to bring the kingdom of God into their lives. You have, regardless of what your pedicures might say, the most beautiful feet. Nine toes like me are all 10, you know? You've got beautiful feet. Because your feet is where the kingdom of God begins. For those people out there who need the kingdom of God, who need an encounter with Jesus. God's kingdom doesn't bring a message of fear. It doesn't bring a message of shame. It doesn't bring a message of condemnation. God's kingdom brings a message of hope, forgiveness, and life. And we are the bearers of that message. We are the ones whom God has chosen not only to bring the message of his kingdom, but to bring the manifestation of his kingdom. To bring it. We've been called to bring it. It's that simple. This region is full of people who are sick, hopeless, and lost. All of us sitting here can think of probably a dozen people immediately. Like, man, they're so lost. They need such help. They're sick, and the doctors can't figure out what's going on. They can't heal them. We can think of these people. And Jesus is sending us, members of his kingdom, to bring this good news along with his healing, hope, deliverance, the fullness of his salvation. The fullness of his salvation. You know, we don't throw on sandwich boards to proclaim in fear that the end is drawing near and bad times are coming. Even though those are truths. We live our lives as a banner that proclaims the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. Because no matter how bad things get, he is still good. No matter how hard the nations rage, he is still on his throne. And his kingdom will not succumb to any other kingdom. His kingdom will always reign supreme over all. There's no excuse for us ever not to be able to bring the kingdom of God. We need to be banners to declare that God, not our government, is our refuge and strength. He alone is our ever-present help in our time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We won't. Though the earth may give away, and the mountains may fall into the heart of sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, he says, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't matter how bad things get, just be still and commit to know God. Just know him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Not everything crumbling around you. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And his kingdom will be established in and through your life. So this morning, I kind of want to encourage us, stand to your feet, get on those beautiful feet, and we are going to read together and make this proclamation of who we are and what we've been commissioned to do. We are members of God's kingdom. And Jesus said that all those who believe in him, anyone who believes in him, would do the same works he was doing and even greater. And what did Jesus say that he came to do? What are those works that he came to do? Well, he stood up in the middle of a church service, and he quoted this. He quoted Isaiah chapter 61. So just proclaim this out with me. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. We will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. We will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. It doesn't matter how bad things are, we have been called to rebuild, to restore, to proclaim a year of freedom. Freedom. This is God's kingdom. We are members of it. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for calling us into your kingdom, Lord. Lord, when you found us, we were so lost in our sins, so unworthy. Yet you counted us worthy and gave your life for us while we were yet in our sin. So Lord Jesus, help us to cast off our thoughts and our opinions and our will. This morning, you have anointed us through your Holy Spirit to bring your kingdom here on the earth, to do your will. Lord, what you have called us to do, nothing can stop us from doing. No temptation can overcome us. No government order or law can stop it, because your kingdom is sovereign. You rule over all. This morning, help me to see the fields as you saw them. Move me to compassion towards the poor, the sick, and the bound around me. Help me to see them, Lord. Help me to see their needs the way you see them. And Lord, help me to trust that you will give me everything I need to meet that need. You will give me everything I need to bring your kingdom here on the earth, to establish your kingdom over the kingdom of darkness that currently has them bound, blind, and broken. Your kingdom, Lord, will bring light, will open their eyes, will remove the veil. Your kingdom will bring healing and restoration. Your kingdom will pull them out of their muck and mire, and will set them on you, Jesus, the solid rock. They cannot be moved. They cannot be shaken, no matter what storm of life comes our way. Jesus, this morning we give you all the praise, honor, glory, and power. And we ask you to give us wisdom throughout this series of how to bring your kingdom here on the earth. In your name, amen.